Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the goodness and the love and the grace that you show and share upon each of us this day. Lord, we could always go and look at yesterday, or we can always go, Father, and just reach out for tomorrow. But Lord, the greatest moment in our life is this moment, this hour. Lord, I say that not because of the facts that I don't have a hope or a promise of tomorrow. Father God, I say that because I'm thankful for the breath. I'm thankful for the goodness and the love that you show and you share with us. Father God, I'm thankful for everyone that's here tonight. I thank you brought them here. Lord, I know they could be doing other things. And I know all of us have many things in life to do. But God, surely, there's nothing any more important than taking the time to praise you and to worship you and to thank you and to sing the hymns of Zion, Father, unto you, and then to declare your word, Father, just as written. Father God, lead us and guide us and direct us in this pathway we call life. Only you, God, can carry us as you do so faithfully every day. We'd ask you to continue to lead us and guide us. Father God, so many times we see others around us that are always looking as they're walking lost and wandering in this sin-cursed and dark world. Thank you, Lord, tonight that we can have the peace and the love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Father, may you bless your word tonight that I'm about to share. Would ask you, Father, that you would empty me of myself completely so that you may fill me to do your work and your will. God, I ask and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, turn to the New Testament book of 1 John with me, if you would. The New Testament book of 1 John, I'm going to be in chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You know, I'll preface this message just a small bit if I can. I've had an opportunity over many weeks to go to many different places, all the way from the mountains to the coast. And if there's one thing that I want you to know that I see everywhere I go, is I see the work of God. I see it in the mountains as I see the clouds settle between the valleys. I see it at the coast as I see waves wash upon a beach with 1,000,000,000 grains of sand. I see the handiwork of God. I see the power of God. I see the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Tell you a little secret from my childhood. When we were young, we used to go out to the beach if we were really in the midst of a struggle in our life. I'm speaking for myself, and I'm telling a little bit on myself, but I'd always go out to the beach very early in the morning when it was still dark. And I would sit just as close to the water as I could get without getting my pants wet and just sit right there in the sand. And I would just close my eyes and I would just listen to the waves and the surf. And you know, you could sit there and you could count the waves. And the waves were so faithful as they broke against the shore. You could feel the breeze. You could feel the foam as it went around my ankles and my feet as I sat there in the surf. But you know what the most wonderful part of all was? As I sat there and as I prayed, I lost track of time. And I would notice in the midst of praying, the sun would come up over the horizon. And it would start always out just as a little speck of orange light. And it would grow and it would grow and it would grow and it would grow until it almost looked like it was just suspended just above the waves. And you know, I'd sit there and I'd go and I'd stand up and I'd walk a few feet down the beach at this time when the sun first rose. And I'd always try to find me a shell or a pebble, whatever I could find on the beach. And I would pick it up. I would clench it tight in my fist. And I would pray, God, my burden today, may you take it just as you bring forth the sun today. Amen. And help me through it and walk with me. And I would take that pebble or that shell and I would grab hold to it and I would throw it as hard as I could throw it out into that ocean. And you know, I'm absolutely sure that I'm telling you the truth. I never would see that shell again. And you know, it's quite likely no one ever saw that very same shell again. But you know what I do remember the most about it? Was when I stood up, I had peace. And you know, beloved, I had a peace that passes all understanding. I had a peace that was given to me by God. It wasn't a peace that a man understands that I could understand. It was a peace that was given unto me by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If I had a way that I could have bottled up a few gallons of that peace, I would still continue to have some of that peace with me in my car or in my pocket today, because it was so wonderful and it was so soothing, and it always brought me a calm in my spirit. And I felt like when I stood up that I could tackle the world, not because of my strengths, but because of the power of God in me. And I wanted to preface this word tonight with that, because that's just a little bit about how I was when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. And as you know by looking at me, that was some years ago. But they were wonderful times. They were wonderful times. My mother and father always knew when they heard the car start up well before daylight, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they saw the taillights at old Chevrolet pull out of the driveway and head left, they said, "Billy's heading to the beach." And I'm thankful my mom and daddy was praying for me as I drove away. I'm thankful for that today. 1 John chapter 4. I want to begin, if I can, tonight in verse number 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Do you see how these verses fit so warmly with my time at the beach? The love and the Spirit of God and the power of God within us. You see, that's where God lives tonight in the heart of a believer, is down inside of you and down inside of me. And I'm thankful for that, because that tells me that I will never be alone. You see, God doesn't desire for you and I to live alone without Him. He desires for us to call upon Him, and He's so faithful. He says He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. He'll always be with us. He'll walk with us even into the end of time and the end of the age. And that's a wonderful promise. In verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You know, I think every day of my life, why could and how could God love us so much? And you put your name where I said "us," because I really would have said Billy. How could God love me and you so much that He would allow my sins and your sins and the sins of this whole cursed world to be placed upon Him, and He become that propitiation, the word in verse 10 speaks of, for our sins? What a wonderful and a loving God we serve. In verse 11, He continues, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." I want to stop there for just a few moments, if I can, and expound on that. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I want you just for a moment, if you can, and I know it's almost impossible, to imagine a world that we live in today where everybody would come and know, and you would know, and they would know, that we truly love one another as God loves us. Just imagine that for just one moment. It's so hard to do, isn't it? It seems like it's something that we could easily do as a believer, as a people of faith. But when you stop and really imagine it, you also have to rule out and you have to push aside all the things that you hear every day, the things that you see every day on television or radio, and you have to kind of push away the things that Satan kind of sticks in your mind every day. But see, until you get those things out of your heart and your mind, until you're able to know that God is able to do what God's Word says He can do, Only then can you truly believe and live by faith. Only then. But in that imagining what I just ask you to imagine with our minds, I stop and think, how would it be if I walked out and I got in my automobile and I drove down the street and the very first person I ever saw, never seen him or seen her before in my life. And as soon as I got out of the car, they came running to me with their arms out and said, I want you to know that I love you. I wouldn't know who they were. But you see, the important thing is it didn't matter who they were. It was the fact that their heart and my heart and your heart, beloved, had been transformed through the power of God. So like I said, just imagine if you can for just a few more moments with me how this world would be if you could imagine this world where everything was about love and about faith and about promise and about hope for everyone that you meet. You see, that would mean you would have no enemies. That would mean that you would have no one that would be not willing to come up to you and help you through any struggle you have in your life. Everyone would. In fact, there would be many that would. Just imagine that for a moment. It gives me goosebumps as I think of that. Because, you know, that's truly just a piece of what heaven is. And, you know, we all, praise God, have that to look forward to when God calls us home. You see, there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no heartache, and there's no tears. Because there's joy and love and there's peace. Even heaven is lit by the face of God. And if we imagine and continue to imagine this thought, as given in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Let's talk just a moment about the love of God that he speaks of in this verse 11. The love he's speaking of is a love that he loved you and I so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the ungodly. And you know, Christ died for all those that you know in your life today. Even those that you kind of seem to love to hate. And you know, every one of us have people in our hearts that we know is so easy to hate. You see, there's people that through their speech and there's people, beloved, through their actions, there's people through the way they live their lives and the way they expound on God, the way they talk against the Word of God and their atheistic attitudes they have about all the things in this world. And you know, it's easy to look at them and it's easy to say, you know, I just wish they weren't in my life. I just wish they were somewhere else. Go worry somebody else. We've all said at some point, haven't we? If you didn't say it with your mouth, you thought it in your heart. I'm guilty as charged. And we all are many times over. But the love in verse 11 speaks of, beloved, is a love that God knew that without His love given to us, we were helpless and hopeless. We had no future. We had no home. We had no relationship with God. Had a conversation a few years ago with a gentleman of another denomination, and I won't go into that. It's not important. But one of the things that his denomination and his belief did not accept was the fact that whenever we pass from this life, his understanding was that we would just stay as we were. But he believed there was a God, and he believed that God was real. But he did not believe in any way in the fact that if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. And you know, I say that tonight with a heavy heart. Because that's a hope and a promise that God gives us through the writings of the Apostle Paul. And it's a writing that we can have hold to. It's a writing that brings peace and comfort by the grave. It's a writing that brings peace and comfort to me every morning when I wake up and raise my hands to praise and thank God. And why does it bring me a peace? Because it brings me hope. And how can it bring me peace and how can it bring me hope if it's not of God? Because in this old world, beloved, there is no hope and there is no peace out here at all. You see, the greatest blessings, and I hear many of you say it when I come in the building and my precious wife and all of our friends come together here. You know, one thing that I stop and think, and I hear a lot of you say, I'm so glad to see you here tonight. Glad to have you here tonight. Been looking forward to the meeting tonight. And you know, when you say that, the first thing I think about is how wonderful it is to be in the house of God with God's people. I think that's exactly why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of God's own people. Because each and every one of us need each other. And you know, not only do we need each other because of friendship and caring and someone else even to pray for us, but beloved, we need one another because God has chosen that we can love because God first loved us. You see, God is love. The same God that we read in the Old Testament that's a God of wrath and a God of truth and a God of destruction for those who were not faithful and followed the laws that He prescribed before them. The same God is an all-knowing and all-loving and an all-caring God today in your life because of God's own grace. Because of God's own grace. Verse 12, I think it kind of nails it down. Listen to these words. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is all perfected in us. Wow. I got to read it again. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Perfected. Not too far from where we live. Each morning on the way to work, when it's still slightly dark outside, but still light enough to see, kind of gray, we'll always look over to the east, and on a certain stretch of the road that we travel for the last several weeks, there's been some wild turkeys out in the field. And you know, for the longest time, we saw just two of the turkeys. And they would walk around. We see them nibbling the grass and walk around. And you see them by the edge of the road coming through the woods. And we found it wasn't long after that that we started noticing that it was also a few weeks later some little small fuzzes of feathers walking with this two larger birds. And we counted, I think my wife counted, about six with the mom and the dad. Following the mother and father. And now, did not see them this morning, but as of yesterday, they were growing up so fast, and they looked like little turkeys now. And they were just walking around, following their mother and them across the road, which I know is dangerous, but they were staying with their mother. And, you know, I stopped and thought, as I saw those birds, God, You care for them. Lord, I know You care for them because You care for me. You see, there's many things I've done, beloved, in my life that don't warrant the love of God. Do you hear me? And I can name you 10,000 things, I'm sure, with a pen and paper. If I had the rest of my life, I could pen it down. Of all the things that I've done that I know weren't pleasing to God. But you know, every time I start to stop and think about those things, God steps in. And God shows me an unfathomable love as He erases from my mind and my spirit and my heart all those things that once troubled me. For God says, those were then and this is now. And you know, as I think about that, I stop and think surely of the cross. You know, the cross was just three nails and two pieces of wood in its basic form. You know, the cross had no significance in any way until our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed upon that cross. And then it became a symbol, not of death, but beloved, it became a symbol of hope and promise and a symbol of strength. Isn't that good? To know how God could bring forth something that was so devastating, which is sin, and place it upon His only begotten Son right there on that cross. You see, Jesus was spotless and blameless. See, Jesus is God in flesh. And he allowed it to be placed upon him. And in placing it upon him, he took upon himself the sin debts of all of this world. And you know the wonderful part about that? It included me. It included you, beloved. Where it so clearly says that God chooses no man to be lost. None. We can go back and look at Psalm 23, and David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. We always know, beloved, and we can always have a promise and a truth in knowing that no matter where we walk and no matter how deep our trials, that God is with us. And not only is God with us, God desires to be with us. God desires to walk with us. And you know what I like to think about sometimes as I pray? I prayed before, and I'm being honest with you, and some people that will hear this later on, or wherever they may be in the world, they'll think something else. And you know, that's okay. I know what I believe. Nobody can change what I believe.
Amen.
But many times as I pray, sometimes I pray and I stay on my knees so long that I can almost feel the arms of God around my shoulders. I tell you that tonight because I believe that. And I tell you I believe that tonight because God promises you and me, beloved, that He will be with us and He'll walk with us.
Amen.
You know, part of my walk, and most important part of my walk, is my prayer. Opportunity I have to commune with God every day. Bible says, pray without ceasing. And make your supplications be known unto God. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. That's a wonderful verse to me. Somebody loves you and me, beloved, so much, named God. The one whom created all things. He loves us so much that He decides that He desires to dwell in us. And He wants us to dwell in Him. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What a powerful verse. Listen again. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In verse 15, and I close. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That verse is so simple, but yet so profound. Whosoever, that means all. That means you and me and each of us in this world shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, that's all that God desires for us to do, is just to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, in my life, since the time I was 7 or almost 8 years old when I was saved at a little church down near the coast, I've always wondered and I've always tried to figure out, and I never have figured it out, and I know I never will. God, why as a little boy, why did you tug my heart? Why did you carry me down to a little altar, Lord? My family wasn't down there. I didn't even have a friend there in the place that I even knew. But God spoke to me alone that day on that Sunday morning, well before the service ever started, and I walked down to that old-fashioned altar. And I want you to know that was a time when the altars were very old-fashioned. Pastor wasn't down there. Nobody was down there. But what I went and what drew me down there was God. And I remember getting on my knees there, and I remember bowing my heads. And I remember wetting that floor with my tears to the point where they had to wipe it down so I could stand without falling. The pastor come up to me and said, son, I believe God's done something to you. And I told the pastor, I know God has forgiven me because I feel like a ton or a brick of bricks or either a home or a house has come up off of me. Why would God bring forth that kind of a load and that kind of a burden on a 7-year-old boy? I don't know. But I know one thing. I've never looked back and I've never doubted God's love since that day.
Amen.
And I want to leave you with that tonight. because I don't know of any more important thing I can share with you tonight when it speaks of whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that God dwelleth in him and he in God. That means that we become one. Amen?
Amen.
You and I in God, because of God's love, because of God's amazing grace. We sing Amazing Grace so often. But you know, it's so many times that I notice as I sing Amazing Grace that I get choked and I have to just pause and I have to just be quiet and still, because that grace is so, so amazing that I know I'll never understand it with my simple mind. But I know that grace is so real and so true that it cost God His only begotten Son. Would you bow your heads with me for a closing prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful and we're so thankful for the blessing and the privilege that you've given us tonight to share in this place with such wonderful people. Father, I'm thankful tonight for your presence in this place. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, no matter where we go, no matter where we are, no matter what trial or tribulation we're walking in the midst of, we can have your promise in your word that you're with us. Thank you for that, Father. We claim that, Father. And we walk by that faith tonight that you give us. Lord, just as I've shared this gospel message coming out of the book of 1 John, I would pray, God, that not only when this meeting ends and we dismiss from this room, Father, then may your work begin in our hearts. And may it continue, Father, until the day that you call us home. May you find us faithful, Father, doing your work and doing your will when that day comes. Thank you, Lord God, tonight for each and every one that's here. Lord, there's not a one in this room tonight that I can't walk up to, no matter how long I've known them, how well I know them, and hesitate for even a moment to let them know that I love them in the name of Jesus. Father God, you are love. And I thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to the cross, so that if we believe and we confess, we may be born again. Help us each, Father, through this pathway tonight and tomorrow as we call life. My deepest prayer is that you may be praised and glorified for it. For we ask and we pray. In a name above all names, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes tonight's live worship service. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one listening has been blessed through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us back again next week for another live outreach worship service as we together continue praising Jesus Christ. Those tonight who have made decisions to follow Christ, desiring additional biblical resources, or anyone with special prayer concerns, are personally invited to visit the Praising Jesus Ministry website. The web address is www.praisingjesus.org. That address again is www.praisingjesus.org. We want to thank each of you tonight for listening. We invite you back again next week as together we seek God to guide, mold, and speak to our hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good night, and may God bless each of you is my prayer.